That was Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Enough on that. It sounds like I've just no. It's good. It's good. I don't want to wear you out. I feel like you're already wore out today before we get in the Word of God. So, I'm so thankful for this eye thing that I've had. That there was this risk that with the detached retina that I might have the kind that had to have the surgery and you have to lay down for like 2 to 4 weeks or something like that. And I said, well, I'll probably be blind. And but praise the Lord, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that, right? He told me Friday, he said, no restrictions, and I've pushed the envelope, and it looks like no restrictions. So you pray for me. I've got another surgery to happen here in weeks, maybe a month or so, that will hopefully help me to regain my vision in my right eye. But it's good. It's good. It's amazing how God's blessed us, right? He's blessed us with just our eyes and the complexity. I told some people, right? Now, you got to understand, I witness to doctors after the procedure, usually. And the emergency room doctor, she came up, this was a Thursday night, super friendly. Man, we just going on, having a good rapport. She knew we had gone to Africa, and she just had been to Africa helping different people medically. And then she started going into the complexity of the eye. And I mean, she was going on and on and on. I don't know. I just couldn't resist it. And I said, and I looked at her and I said, surely you don't think the eye just came by random chance, do you? And she, sir, and she whoosh, closed and walked out. But she wasn't going to do any procedure on me. And so folks, I want you to understand this. The eye is amazing. That doesn't happen just by time and chance. There's a creator. And that's why we're here, is to worship him. Let's look at Luke chapter 18, verse 28 to 34. Let's read this fantastic section of scripture. This is after the rich young ruler, where they were just in shock and they said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with men it is impossible. You can't save yourself. You can't make yourself good enough. That's why I love that opening song. You need to listen to it. Just watch the way. Oh, it's so good. That opening song was so good. And so I want you to know this. It's who then can be saved? With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The only way you can be saved from your sins, rescued from the damnation that you deserve, is the work of Christ. Not your work, it's faith in what he has done. Look at, then Peter responds, if rich people aren't being blessed, he says this. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And so then look at verse 29. And he, Jesus, said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. Verse 31, I think it's very purposeful right after this. Then he took unto them the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, the Romans, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. I want to speak this morning about the blessings of God. One of the most humbling things about being a pastor is you correct yourself as time goes on. So I'm going to correct myself this morning. So I've asked this question before, and I'm going to change my answer. I've asked this question before. Does God dispense his grace equally to everyone? I'm going to change my answer this morning. I'm going to say, yes. All right? Does God dispense his grace equally to everyone? It says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all. And so I'm going to suggest this, that the word grace, it's unmerited favor of God. It's just the kindness of God that we don't deserve, and I think it's dispensed equally. Then I have this question, and it's not nuance. Does God dispense his blessings equally? The answer is no. I want you to know this. So I've struggled. So because let me just tell you what my reasoning, and you can disagree with me if you'd like. My reasoning is this: if God were to dispense his grace arbitrarily, he'd be a respecter of persons. And God says he's no respecter of persons. But what God is a respecter of, Ethan, he's a respecter of obedience, sacrifice, and commitment. That's what this passage is about today. Peter said, we have left all. What about us? And Jesus says, anybody that's sacrificed, I will bless them. And in parallel passages, it says a hundredfold in this life and in the life to come. So I want to challenge you with this. It is, I think he dispenses his grace equally with that discussion, but his blessings aren't. I'm going to say another crazy thing that you go by like, I need. Obedience is better than prayer. Obedience is better than prayer. Now let me make sure you understand this. Nobody goes to heaven because you're obedient. You only go to heaven because you have faith in the work of Christ and in Christ alone. Obedience is better than prayer. Here's what I'd say this. I love this, and I think you should. Do not misunderstand me this morning. I think you should pray for your lost loved ones, your lost neighbors, your lost friends, your lost acquaintances. I think you should pray for them, and 1 Timothy chapter 2 would also validate that. But what do I think is better, Joe? Obedience. Obedience is the gateway to God's blessings. Let me tell you this. You want your family saved? Dedicate your life to Jesus Christ, and he will bless you in this life and in the life to come. You want your family saved? You want God to intervene? You want him to move on them again and again and again? I will tell you, he'll do that out of a blessing for you. I'm convinced of that. You've all heard this. It was a study done some time ago. Jonathan Edwards, he preached the message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God was part of one of the Great Awakenings in America. I don't agree with Jonathan Edwards on everything, but I think he preached the true gospel. What I understand is he read the message, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God, but Jonathan Edwards was a dedicated, holy man. I would tell you this. I'm going to get in trouble. It'd be better for you to be holy than right on everything. You better be right on the gospel. You better be right on who Christ is. It'd be better if you were holy than right on everything. You follow me? Jonathan Edwards was a holy man. There was this study done, and it's they've given it a name. It's the five-generation rule, right? So they went and looked at Jonathan Edwards' life, the five-generation rule. Remember the Bible says the sins of the fathers passed to the second, the third, and the fourth generation? So it's five-generation rule if you count the current. So it'd be Jonathan Edwards, his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, Jonathan Edwards, his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. That'd be five generations. So it's called the five-generation rule. They went and studied Jonathan Edwards. He was a man that sacrificed and dedicated his life to Jesus Christ. And they did this study, and then it's been done with others. They did this study to say, I wonder if we could see, Mike, if we could see anything where God blessed Jonathan Edwards in this life. He was a faithful man. Jonathan Edwards died. I'm sure he died. Family members were lost. If Jonathan Edwards was the typical Christian, he died wishing he had done more. He died thinking, I've let the Savior down. God's just so good. Listen to Jonathan Edwards. This is his descendants. Just five generations. Him, his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. Not too far. Are you a great-grandpa yet? Not yet. Okay, I won't try to hesitate. But not far away, right, with the age of your grandkids, right? And that's Gerald's tremendous older than me. And so listen to Jonathan Edwards. Out of just those five great-great-grandchildren, there were 100 missionaries and pastors, 65 professors, dozens and dozens of doctors, 30 judges, 100 lawyers, 30 college presidents, 3 U.S. senators, 3 state governors, 1 U.S. vice president. God bless Jonathan Edwards. The one I read first, 100 pastors, 100 missionaries. Justin, great-great-grandchildren, great-grandchildren, grandchildren, and his children. That's amazing. Let me help you understand this. I'm giving you the message in a nutshell this morning. God bless! Obey. You want God to bless? Forsake all. It is what you're going to see comes along with it is something that we wouldn't choose, but it's not something we choose. God chooses it for us. And I think the reason why we don't see it much is because very few, if any of us, have forsaken all. We are the half-hearted, and I'm looking at me in the mirror, okay? The reason why I could tell you this is because it's leadership. We are the half-hearted, half-in, half-out Baptist church. And that's not me ripping on you. That's me looking in the mirror and saying, well, who's the stinking pastor of these half-in, half-out people? It's me. You know, God's still so good, He's going to bless my half-in, half-out effort. But I'll tell you this, if I want to see tremendous things, you want to see great things done with God, I need His blessings. Do you not need His blessings? I want you to see this. First, it's this. The apostles left all. They left all. Look at verse 28. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Now, I want you to understand this. This response comes to those that have forsaken all. And we all, Sunday school, perfect fit for what I'm preaching this morning. We all could then just say, I want to forsake all. Oh, teenagers, I want you to understand this. You're at the best spot ever. You have the least responsibilities that you'll have. Forsake all now. Make it part of your pattern. Make it part of your life where you'll not marry anybody that's not fully dedicated. You'll not take a job that doesn't let you be fully dedicated because there's no substitute for dedication to Jesus Christ. Now's the time, oh teenager. Now's the time. Get things right. Determine now. I look back at my life. So much of my life changed when I was 16. And I'm thankful to God. I didn't know what I know now because I didn't know the Bible. It changed the direction of my life. And then when I wouldn't change, God's so good, He changed it for me. Let me tell you, anytime some of these catastrophes happen to me, I'm thankful to God. And I'll tell you this, old eye, I don't want to miss it. You know, I'm just telling you this. You know what? Let me tell you all the men. You know what this old eye tells me? I need to make sure my eyes are dedicated to Christ and to Christ alone. I'm not happy with 90%. You understand what I'm talking about? You understand? I'm telling you this. I look at this. I had 9 tears in my retina. You had 6. Outdid you. Anybody have higher? I win. It's not about winning, right? It's not a good thing to win that contest. But I do like winning anyway. But let me just tell you this. I want it to be my cigarette moment. You know what I mean by cigarette moment, Jacob? You don't. Somebody goes into the doctor, and he goes, if you don't quit smoking, you'll be dead in 2 months. Most people quit smoking when it's life or death. You know what? I'm just going to wake up to God and say, I want that single eye, Ron. You talk about an interesting passage this morning. I only have one left. And will my eye be singly devoted to Christ? Will my mind, will my heart, will my all? I'll tell you this, I'm super excited. You know why? I could just be that I'm getting old and I could explain to you, you know, physically how this can happen because there's a gel under your retina and when you age, I'm not quite there yet, but apparently mine turned to liquid a little early and then it starts to put pressure on your retina. You know, she's breaking up. And so mine just broke up all over. But you know what I want to do? Don, let's say this is chastisement from the Lord. I don't want to miss it. You know what I love? Thank you, Lord. God is good. I'm not going to bemoan struggles, difficulties. You know what? I want to forsake all, and I haven't. I so want my grandkids to be saved. I so want them to serve the Lord. I so want my great-grandkids to, and I'm so far from that, right? And then my great-great-grandkids. You know the best thing for me to do? Wholly devoted, singly focused, forsake all. And God's an amazing God. I didn't tell you to stop praying for your loved ones, but I would tell you this, it's better if you lived for your loved ones. Things of God. Let me tell you, it's not an accident. When you see faithful people, guess what I would expect to see? More people saved in their line. Because that's how God blesses. He blesses with a permeation of the gospel, and He knows that's your heart. Every single Christian here, you have great needs, some of them financial, some of them physical, but I will tell you this, you give them all up if your family would come to know Christ, would you not? Anybody else? Is there anything better than your family knowing the Savior that you know? Isn't that where you're at? You'd love to see your neighbor saved. You'd love to see your coworker saved. I will tell you, live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. You don't think God's blessing you the way that you think He should? I'm going to tell you, don't look at God. Look in the mirror. Your life's not where you think your life should be. Don't blame God. Look in the mirror. Look what He says here. He said, look at verse 29 to 30. He said, verily I say unto you, truly, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. I want you to show, I do already have the parallel verse there. I want you to look at this. Look at Matthew 19, 27 through 30. Matthew 19, 27 through 30. Peter said, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. So Peter asked this, what are we going to get? I don't think that's a terrible question. If the motive's wrong, it could be terrible. But He knows God. And God tells us what He's going to give us because sometimes it's really hard. Friday, I went through about an hour, baby, baby, suck your thumb, watch some bubble. I went through about an hour where I was like, ah, my stinking eye was killing me, headache, eye ache, And I immediately thought of some of you that have long-term physical struggles. And I thought, Lord, I need to pray for these folks more. I struggled with an hour. All I wanted to do was go to sleep so I wouldn't feel it. I don't know, it humbled me. It humbled me. It humbled me. I tell those, I just, physical struggles are a great battle. Oh, church, we need to be more faithful to pray for those that are struggling long term. We do. We do. But here's what Jesus says. Peter said, what shall we do? And to you that you shall have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of glory, you shall also sit upon 12 thrones in the 12 tribes. That's a special promise to the 12 apostles. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren, you'll see this same path, or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last and the last shall be first. I want you to understand this. It bothers me. It bothers me with my attitude. It bothers me with Christians' attitude. They act like it doesn't matter. Well, as long as we're saved. There's going to be some kind of distinction in eternity that's not going to create jealousy. We'll all be like, absolutely. There's going to be a distinction on how we serve God here. But here's what I love. I can't get a grasp on heaven. I can't get a grasp that Gordon is seeing Jesus right now. Can you? It's real. Do you really believe it? Maybe, right? It's like, he's with the Lord. I think the reason why we can't grasp it is we might be suicidal. Right? That's not of God either. Okay, that would be wrong. That would be the wrong response. But I want you to know this. What I am excited about, he said a hundredfold in this life. I gave you Jonathan Edwards and his descendants because God will bless you. Now, I want to tell you this. He will bless according to your commitment. You sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. That's not a building fund push. I'd rather have $0 given and for us to forsake all and pursue Christ. You know why? We won't mind if people are sitting on our laps. I know, weird, but I mean, it is, mom, dad, you'd have your own kids sitting on your laps. We'd figure it out. Dad's on your shoulders, and it'd be a great place. Because when God's here, when God's working, we don't care if it's hot. We don't care if it's uncomfortable, because we just want to serve the Lord. I tell you that there's going to be an eternal distinction. You sow sparingly, I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your service to God. I'm talking about your dedication to God. Then you will reap sparingly in eternity, and it will be noticeable. Oh, let me tell you, the best part of heaven, and really, heaven is Jesus. But God doesn't mess around. When He blesses, you would like those blessings, would you? He's a perfect God, and He will bless those that truly serve Him. The message this morning is, where are you at? Half-hearted? One toe in? One leg in? I love the people that have one toe in. You keep coming. Maybe next week, a second toe, okay? God's been super patient with me. If I could tell you anytime, jump in. But if you just add one toe here and one toe there, we love you. I'm not trying to scare you away. I'm not trying to say I'm not interested in the big toe people. But I want to tell you, you'll regret it for eternity. I'm going to finish with this thought. So the apostles, they left all Jesus promised blessings. But I'm going to show you this, and I'm going to talk this. Blessings can come in the form of suffering. It's no accident. It's no accident that in verse 31 to 34, right after Jesus says, you'll receive an hundredfold, then He took unto them the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. He begins to tell them what He is about to endure. It's coming time. For He Himself shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge Him. They knew what scourging was. You may not. I'll explain it someday. It's ripping your flesh off. He'd be scourged and put Him to death. And the third day He shall rise again. I want to show you this. It may be your response. I want to show you this. Look, this is the same passage in Mark. But it says He's going to give a hundredfold now, and this time houses and brethren and sisters and mother and children with persecutions. What? God slipped that in. I want you to know this. You want to forsake all? Let me help you understand this. The greatest blessing that God could ever give you is that you'd be persecuted for His namesake. Now, some of you are like, hey, I don't want to be persecuted. Here's what I tell you. For most of us in this room, God will never trust you enough to allow you to suffer for Him. That's an insult. You understand? It's an insult. I am so selfish that God can't trust me to allow me to suffer for Him. But I will tell you this, the greatest honor that we could ever do is suffer for the cause of Christ. That is reserved for those that forsake all, those that dedicate all. And let me tell you, do you think any martyrs regretting that today up in heaven? No. They wish they could come back and go, Jacob, die for Christ. Give it all, Jacob. You have no idea what these passages mean. Let me show you here. I'm going to show you something. This is interesting. Your response is a lot like the apostles. And I believe this. I want to show you this, and I'm going to get the hustle to a close because I had shorter time today, my fault. But it's this. Look at verse 34. And they, the 12, because remember this? Look at verse 29. He took the 12 apart. Then took He unto Him the 12. So this little message, 31 to 34, is for the 12. It's for the elite. And He said, and they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Now, I don't like some commentaries. God didn't hide this for them. You know what I believe? I believe they were willingly ignorant. They refused to hear and listen and believe. Because Peter finally vocalized it the night before the crucifixion. And he said, "Not so, Lord. You will not suffer these things." They were willingly ignorant. They refused to believe. And you could hear me today and go, "You know what? No way." Ethan through Job yesterday. A little shocking, huh? Just a touch. Job was blessed by God using him to suffer. Job lost all his wealth, all his children in one day. Then he lost his health the next day in the worst possible way. Boils head to toe, misery upon misery upon misery, and God was honored. The Bible says first when Job lost all of his children, all of his wealth, he said, "Naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return." And the Bible said, in none of this did Job sin. Then when he was just, the Lord allowed the devil to attack his flesh, and Job, his wife, said, "Curse God and die." Let me tell you, they were one flesh, and she said, "You need to call it a day." I love my wife. She hangs in there with me. She is, I thanked her yesterday for something, and she said, "Did I have a choice?" I said, "But no, thank you." And I want you to understand that the Bible then says, in all this, Job didn't sin with his lips. Let me tell you, began to affect the old heart. But God loved Job. You talk about now about 35 chapters that talk about his comfortless comforter friends. They were loser friends. And God deals with them. But then in chapter 42, God said he blessed Job tenfold. Let me just tell you, he still owed Job 90-fold, didn't he? I'll guarantee you that happened. He just gave him tenfold. He got 10 more children. He got tenfold the wealth that he had. And I'm going to tell you something about the story of Job that fits within this as well. You guys remember this where it says Job would burn burnt offerings for his children in case they had done something? It's sort of along this message. Stephen Schultz, you ought to live for Christ knowing this. God will see that as a burnt offering to him, and it just might be for Jaron. I'm not trying to make up stuff here. I'm telling you, if we could understand that, then it'll help us with the sacrifice a little bit better, right? Because if you just think you're just suffering for no cause, I'm telling you this, I'm suffering for Elia. I'm suffering for Callum. And I'm not suffering. But Joe, I want the blessings of God poured out on my family. I need to obey. Forsake all. Half-hearted, God will bless you. Half the blessings. Big toe, you get big toe blessings. One leg in, you'll get one leg blessings. You see, I started with this. I'm getting convinced, and so you guys say, "I just wish it wouldn't change so much," that the grace of God is dispensed equally. Otherwise, I think he might be a respecter of persons. But blessings come through obedience. You follow me? You dedicate yourself to Christ. Don't you go looking for the blessings. You just know he'll bless you. It's not this. This is what's preached a lot on television. You know, reach in those jeans and pull out those greens. You know, you give today and God's going to just bless your bank account. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying if you give to the building fund that God's going to bless your bank account. I'm going to tell you this. He's going to bless you. This is not a building fund thing. This is this. Oh, you pray. You pray for your loved ones. Better. You obey for your loved ones. you want your kids to love the Lord? Would you like your kids to be a preacher? Would you love that? Would you like that? Send them to my house. You want your boys to be preachers? Do you still pray? How often? Every day? Okay, Lauren's wavering on that too. Get back to it. Get back to it. I think it's a great prayer request. But you know what? Lauren, I want you to know this. Lauren, super honest. You ought to talk to her. It'll encourage you greatly because everybody goes through what Lauren goes through, right? Just she's talking about door knocking, how ineffective and how miserable she is. And she's just like, everything I say is wrong. And Lauren even said this. She said, I'm helping people close the door. Okay, all right. Well, we'll see you later. You know, how many of you, we've been there, right? We've been there. But you know what I love? I love this, Lauren. You're at a church that does that. You wish you weren't. But you are. There is some sacrifice in that because it's against your will, your flesh. But I want you to know this. Don't you identify yourself that way. I love this. You know how much you encouraged me with what you told me? It's this. You know what? I am not going to let my flesh get in the way. I'm going to do it because I want to honor God. He just might bless your boys. Don't have ulterior motives. But I'm telling you, it doesn't mean if you're miserable that it's godly. But when you're doing something that is so opposed to your flesh, right? And then you're with people and you think, oh, wow, it's so easy for them, right? God's honored. She has some Bible studies. We've all been there. I hope they cancel. You know? But she's doing it because she's at a church where we talk it. But I think, are you convinced in the Scriptures? Tell me yes. That's what God would have us to do, to teach others? Oh, I'm so glad if you said no, I'd be like, oh. God's going to bless you. Don't let that be your motive. I want you to understand this. He wants us to be cheerful about serving Him. He doesn't want us to be miserable about serving Him. I'm not trying to force you into misery. I'm telling you this. Every person my testimony is I've hated everything I started doing for the Lord, and then finally I got it, and it's great. All right? I just want to tell you this. Every Christian that said, I did it because it was right, and now I can't imagine anything else. You want God's blessings? Obey. You want God's blessings? Forsake all and pursue Christ. It doesn't mean you neglect your family. That's not what he's talking about when he says, whoever leaves mother and father and sister and brother and houses, he's saying this. Christ is more important than mother and father and sister and brother. He's more important. He's more important. More important than where you go to college. Where you go to college is important. Didn't say that, did I? But what's more important? Christ. He is what's more important. Don't get it reversed. Christ, and then He'll help me make decisions that aren't in the Bible that say where to go to college, is it? It's not. You don't have to agree with me. It's okay. Doesn't mean you're wrong. High likelihood, but no, I'm not picking on you because that's same situation all over the place. You understand this? Let Christ be your focus. Let Him be your delight. Let Him be your pursuit. You'll never regret it. Let's pray.